Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Wednesday, December the 4th, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, How It Works, page 62, the third paragraph. This is the how and why of it. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kim H., 12 Traditions, Sharla W., and readers of the check, Judith S.T., Susan S.H., and Vanessa G. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, December the 3rd, the 7 a.m. meeting, 21962, and the 10 a.m. meeting, 21963. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Kim H. is going to read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Kim.
Hi, good morning. Kim H., compulsive overeater in Colorado. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Sharla W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we're resuming our study of the Big Book, We're in the chapter How It Works, page 62, the third paragraph.
I'm sorry, did we do the traditions? Because I thought I was supposed to do the traditions. This is Charlotte W. Sorry.
I'm so sorry. Did I miss the traditions? I beg your pardon, Charlotte, please go ahead.
Okay, tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you for allowing me to do that service. I'm sorry you guys forgot about it.
Thank you, Charlotte W. Good heavens, I'm going to lose my good job here. Okay. So our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works on page 62, and we're reading the third paragraph. This is in the how and why of it. And today Judith P. is going to read for us. Good morning, Judith.
Good morning. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And most importantly, thank you, God. My name is Judith S.T. in Maryland, recovered from the insanity of wrapping my whole life around food. And yes, having walked through to freedom. This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter, in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father, and we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we pass to freedom. I am just so heartfelt and grateful to be here with you all, overseen by my higher power, who I call God. For this really gives me the emphasis, bolded, underlined, the biggest font I could find, that God is my source and God is my answer. When I move back a couple sentences, or even the paragraphs before, that tell me that selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of my trouble, and I see all the reasons on how I've tried to make my life work, whatever that darn work meant, I don't have a clue. But then I come to this beautiful paragraph that says, this is the how and why of it, the continual reinforcement for me that this big book gives me instructions moment by moment, hour by hour, and day by day, how and what I have to do to stay free from compulsive eating and all the horror that went along with it, so that I can be the child of God, to serve God and do the best I can with what I have today. It's very simple, but first of all, I have to move away. I have to take the action and stop playing God. I've done that most of my life. Even as a little kid, when I would tantrum not getting my way. I could give you many more examples, but that's irrelevant right now. I trust every morning in my prayer and meditation, I do say, thank you, God, you are my protector. You are my great parent. You are my employer. You are my director. You are my everything. And then I feel it. I take it into my soul center. And this is very simple. I don't have to create much of anything. Really, it's about going inside. And I looked up, as many do at times, the word keystone. The central or most important part, the one thing upon which everything else depends. I can kick and scream. I can subtly smile and tell everybody, including me, everything's okay. But if I'm not connected to the we in my relationship with my higher power, I am never going to walk through that arch and feel the freedom that I feel when the moment my eyes open, I turn my will and my life over to God and become the child who can serve others through my love and unconditional acceptance of the power that gave me the freedom I now call recovered. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Judith S.P., for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Janet B.
Rachel K.
Rachel
A.
Janet B.
Okay, let me tell you who I did hear. Janet B., Rachel K., and Lisa M. Did I miss anybody?
Shanna C.
Is that Shanna B.?
Shanna C.
Thank you. Who
Anne
else?
Marie M.
Okay, so far I have Janet B., Rachel K., Lisa M., Shanna C., and Anne Marie M. Was there anyone else that I missed?
Kelly S.
Kelly E-Y-S. Perfect. Okay, there's our lineup. We'll start with Janet B., followed by Rachel K. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So we had to quit playing God. Well, when I was in the food, if you asked me if I was playing God, I would have said, no, I'm just trying to survive and stop binging. But when I really looked at it, I was. And here's how I was doing it. I was treating God like a genie in the bottle. God, come out and do what I want. Make this boy like me. Remove my food obsession, whatever I wanted. And then go back in your bottle and leave me alone. I mean, isn't that me treating God like a servant and me playing God? And I didn't realize there was a connection between that and my binging, because our book tells us God is everything or else he's nothing, which means if I surrender everything to God, my food, my plans for the day, everything, then God will take care of me and remove my food obsession. And then what's his role for me? It says he is the principal, we are his agent. So that means like a principal has work that he wants his agent to do. Okay, what work does God want me to do? And I flip back to page 49, and it says that we're supposed to be regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation. Well, okay, God already created the world. What's he creating now? He's creating new people. He's taking compulsive eaters like me and transforming me. Guys, this isn't just like getting a little better. This is caterpillar to butterfly stuff. So God has a will. I believe he like created the world and now he's launching search and rescue missions for addicts like me. And what he wants me to do is to recover so I can join him in his ever-advancing creation and help other people. But he's not just an impersonal agent. He is the Father, and we are his beloved children. This is a God who loves us, who has a purpose for us. And I believe and I've experienced that the removal of the food obsession that comes when we work these steps is just his opening act. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janet B. Now we have Rachel K., followed by Lisa M. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Lynn. This is Rachel K., compulsive overeater from Indiana. And yeah, so what I know about the financial world and being a stockbroker, whatever, is zero. But I did look up this term, the principal and agent, because I knew it had to do with some kind of financial thing. And Bill was a stockbroker, right? And so the agent, at least in this situation, acts in the best interest of the principal. Like if I hire you, to watch my money, you have a fiduciary responsibility to represent me, not just to represent me in your own interest and so that you can make money off of me, but in my own interest, if I am the principal. So if God is the principal, that means that I am doing whatever is in God's own interest. Well, how do I know what's in God's own interest? Well, I don't have a clue. I have a little bit of a clue, okay? So that's what I get by getting closer and closer to God. And it says this is simple, so I don't have to make it complicated. I don't have to, a lot of times when I was first trying to practice step three, I didn't know what God's will was, but I knew what it wasn't. It wasn't for me to, you know, cut people off in traffic. It wasn't for me to snap back at people when a lot of times I wanted to. It wasn't for me to, after I was done eating my lunch, go lay on the couch, which is exactly what I wanted to do, or continue eating, which is what I really, really wanted to do. It was to get up and put my dishes in the sink, and then it was to go brush my teeth. So I started thinking, okay, what would God not want me to do? Now, why don't I do the opposite? And the idea is simple. I want to make things really, really complicated. And here it's telling me, no, just do whatever, you know, your guess is in God's best interest, not in my best interest, because what I thought was in my best interest, face down in the food, miserable, wanting to kill myself. So I am just acting on behalf of God. And it sounds kind of weird, but it's really a relief. It's such a relief that I don't have to figure out my own life. I don't have to figure out what to do, who to be. God's already got that figured out. All I have to do is act on his behalf or act on my higher power's behalf, however I understand him and however you understand your higher power. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Rachel K. Next up is Lisa M., followed by Shanna C. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for taking the meeting this morning. And my last initial is N as in Nancy, actually, and I'm from Wisconsin. And that M and N sure sound alike, don't they? Anyway, good morning, everybody. And so this made me think right away of how I used to try to run the show here in my home with my family, with my husband, try to run the show. I thought that I was in charge. I did not consult with my higher power. Even though I knew I had a God, I did not say, you know, I need help with this. Would you tell me what to do? I was like in charge, and I was large and in charge. And that I'm not making fun of being large. I'm just saying that is the truth. I was. And everything was a mess. There was chaos in my life. There was chaos in the people that were in my life, my family. The house was a mess. Everything was a disaster because I felt like I was the principal. And everybody was my agent. You know, that I made everybody be my agent. It didn't work. Just like it says here in the big book, it didn't work. And then once I decided that it wasn't working the way I was doing it, and I was willing to listen to a sponsor tell me what the big book said, what God would have me be, things started to change. And one of the things I absolutely did not want to do, and I was sure, I knew after all the years of reading magazines and books about dieting and what to eat, I did not want to give over my food to a dietitian. And when I did that, it was amazing. It was one of these things that was a good idea that was simple. And it was so simple, and it worked, and it was freedom that I had never known. And here I was gripping onto it, wanting to be the charge of that. And once I said to God, no, I'm willing to do a dietitian, boy, he just made that so lovely. Anyway, that's all I've got. I hope everybody has a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa N. from Wisconsin. Next up, Shanna C., followed by Anne Marie M. Good morning, Shanna.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee through God's grace and people who have helped me through these steps so that I could have that transformation like someone else was talking about. That separates me from that obsession and that desire to eat like that. And oh my God. And anyway, I could go on, but you know what? I didn't always feel this way. And I certainly didn't understand, especially early on, like the whole God thing. I like someone else had said, I just wanted to just not eat, wanted to feel better and did not know how to do it. And didn't know how to make that happen. Like, I don't know. And the food was killing me, and I didn't know why. And but yeah, and one thing that really helped me, you know, is to understand: are you willing to believe that there is a power greater than me? Like there was nothing more, and I am allowed to commence at a much simpler level, especially when getting started. And even in those moments where I've been doing this quite a while, And there are those moments where I get emotionally overwhelmed, where it's like all I have right now is a willing to believe that God still exists and a willingness to believe that these directions will still freaking work. And a willingness to believe that I just give this much, like God overwhelms me with what he shows up with. You know, and I'm reminded of page 13 and 14 where Bill is talking about his story, and this definitely pertains to this this part here where, it's, you know, because I'm the person that if I'm going to give something over to God, I know it's selfish to expect something in return. Like I can logically, my brain is like, I shouldn't be selfish. I shouldn't be selfish. Well, I can't wish it away. Intrinsically, I want to know what's in it for me. And you know what's so awesome about this book is there are promises. I believe that God of my understanding knows this and says, okay, I know I'm asking you to give your will and life over to my care. I know you don't trust me, but here are some promises that it's going to happen when you do this. So can you take this book's word for it? Can you take these people's word for it? You know, in surrendering and following directions that aren't yours that might just work. Right. And so, and it talks about here, these promises on page 13, it says, my friend promised when these things were done, I would enter upon a new relationship with my creator, that I would have the elements of a way of living, which answered all my problems, belief in the power of God, plus enough willingness, honesty, and humility to establish and maintain the new order of things were essential requirements, simple, but not easy. A price had to be paid, and meant the destruction of self-centeredness. I must turn in all things to the Father of light who presides over us all. And down at the bottom of 14, it talks about how the friend emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating his principles in all my affairs. And it goes on to say about how never was I to pray for myself except that it would bear on my usefulness to others, but that would be in great measure. Like the dividends. So a lot of times, you know what, when I'm picking up that phone to make an outreach call, or if I'm doing and I'm praying and I'm doing a 10th step to get out of myself, then I'm turning my thoughts to helping someone else. It's just that willingness to believe if I take that action and that promise that if I'm asking God to remove this stuff and do this for me so that someone else can be helped, it happens.
Time, please.
Thank you. And another thing that helps me is, God, please help me to just forget about me today. Just help me forget about me. And that's it. Anyway, thanks for your service, everybody, and appreciate you. That's it.
Thank you, Shanna C. from Tennessee. Welcome, Anne Marie M. Good morning. Please press star 1 to unmute.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you so much. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina, recovering from compulsive overeating. I'm grateful to be here. I've learned so much in these last couple of weeks about myself and so much since I've been a member of this meeting, which I've been a member of like 12 years of this meeting. One of the things that I remember someone saying is that there's three things about God. There is a God, it's not me, and that all I need is to know him right now. And maybe it's two things. There is a God, and it's not me. That makes it even simpler. But I had to quit playing God. And I love the definition of the principal and the agent. I knew that, but it was great to hear it again. So I love being God's agent, doing his will and seeking out to help others and speaking every morning to ask what it is you want me to do. Ask directions every day. And I've been doing that, and I'm just so, so grateful. I just had to give up my self-will and not expecting to get everything that I wanted. God gives me what I need. And that's all I need is, you know, my needs are met and I trust God. And, you know, these ideas are very simple. And if I just stop complicating things, it works really well. I am learning a lot about what drives me, and what needs to drive me is my God, my higher power, and seek him to allow him, not allow him because he does what he does, but be willing to do what it is he wants me to do, even though I may not understand it, and trust, and not live in fear. I made a decision, and then I got into a fear about going. I impulsively made reservations to go to Rhode Island, and then fear just overcame me. And I've been praying about it, and I do need to speak to my sponsor about it. And I'm just so grateful that I have all these opportunities. So I'm just going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. from South Carolina. And now it's Kelly EYS. Good morning, Kelly.
Well, good morning, Lynn. It's Kelly EYS from Tulsa, Oklahoma, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. Thanks for taking the meeting. Thanks for all the wonderful shares, everybody. Really excited about sharing on this paragraph because this is where I live, right? I live in 60 to 62 all the time, and this is where the real work is. You know, I share this with people all the time. This is why I have to keep doing the work, you know, because this is my go-to. You know, I'm always the director. You know, my sponsor's always like, Kelly, there you are in God's chair again. And God's like, Kelly, get out of my chair. Get out of my chair, right? And I find myself right back in there, and it is so hard. And just like was shared earlier, it's like I don't have the desire. I don't have the power to stop eating on my own. I don't have the power to change this stuff. But what this process does is help to open my eyes to see. You know, I have been doing this stuff my whole life. I was never in denial. It didn't offend me when they said that because I knew. I mean, I wore that director's role well and loved it, right? And so, but I start to see it more and more as I get recovered, and I am like, oh, my God. And getting back in the chair now even, I'm like, what the hell? I thought it looked weller than this, right? And here I go again. And, you know, I heard someone say that how I can tell my recovery is I don't get in that chair as often. You know, I don't get those defects as often, right? I see it sooner. I see my behavior. I see what I'm doing. I can get out of it faster. Well, how do I do that, right? If I could just stop all this stuff, I wouldn't need you guys. I wouldn't need all the work, you know? And that's why I have to do the steps, and that's why I have to keep going to God, because God's going to do that. I'm powerless, you know? And a thing in 25, I know my sponsor shared this with me, and I love it because this is the promise that's happened to me. The central fact of my life today is the absolute certainty that my Creator has entered my heart and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He commenced to accomplish these things which I could never do by myself. I could never stop eating by myself. I could never get out of that freaking director's chair. I could never live by love and tolerance, you know? And how do you just do that? Again, I have to put down the food, and I have to work these steps. And then guess what? I do get freedom. It's just like when I start doing my food plan and I do weight and measure, I think there's no way that's going to be awful. It's going to be deprived. I get freedom, right? When I get out of that chair and I truly, truly surrender and give God control and to the outcomes, that's the other thing. Okay, God, you can take it, but here's how I'd like it to end. No, that's still me trying to play the director, right? So when I really surrender and get out of that freaking chair, then I have true freedom. And it's a life I never thought I'd have. And it's only from God. I'm all the time thinking, I don't know how this is happening. Okay, I do know it's happening. It's a God thing, right? Who would have thought? Anyway, with that, I pass. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you, Kelly, excuse me, EYS from Tulsa, Oklahoma. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, just to let you know where we are continuing our study of the big book in the chapter, How It Works, page 62, the third paragraph. This is the how and why of it. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it does help me hear everybody. So who would
Julie
like
R.
to share?
Julie R.
Jim S.
Jennifer C.
Stephanie O.
Vasa O.
Okay, let me tell you who I got. I got Jim S., Julie R., Jennifer C., then I missed a lady, and then I got Vasa O. Who did I miss, please?
Stephanie O.
Stephanie W. So Stephanie O. and somebody W.
Jackie.
Jackie W. Okay, there's our lineup now. Thank you. We have Jim S., Julie R., Jennifer C., Stephanie O., Vasa O., and Jackie W. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. My name's Jim S. I'm from Toledo, Ohio. I just had a breakthrough yesterday. My wife refers to God as the Lord. And I went to a meeting last night and shared. And I have never experienced this in my life, what she experiences. But I had a conversation with her to get her on my team. And I now refer to my higher power as the Lord. And I'm ready to do whatever I have to do. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim S. Julie R., it's your turn, followed by Jennifer C. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, good morning. Julie R., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Oh, boy, this paragraph just really tells where I had lived during my year relapse. I couldn't quit playing God, and it kept me in and out of the food. It kept me being more controlling than I normally am at work, which is already controlling due to the nature of my job. And, you know, as you know, we don't eat because of circumstances, because I have the same circumstances now that I'm recovered that I had during last year or the year. The difference is that I am learning once again to not play God's role, because it never works. It just creates more chaos, not just for me, but for anybody that's in my life. And when I finally got that this time around, it was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe how much I was playing God in all areas of my life. And I like the last sentence where it talks about most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arc through which we pass to freedom. And the keystone is right, everything that's holding on to that foundation. I have to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand my God. And talk about the freedom that I'm experiencing now. You know, thank God I only gained like 35 pounds in my relapse, because I could have gained it all back, the whole 155. But I just, now it's like I'm 100% entirely black and white abstinent. I've gone through the steps again. I'm waiting to get a sponsee. And it's like God is good. And I am not in that chair most of the time. You know, it's a lifelong thing. I'm going to be dealing with trying not to play God, but I'm just glad that I'm not stuck in that chair anymore. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Julie R. from California. Next up is Jennifer C., followed by Stephanie O. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. So this book is teaching me that I am in bondage to food, bondage to self, and teaches me gradually that I need power. And when it presents the concept of power, it's a capital P. It introduces me first to God as power, my source of power over food. And then it tells me how selfish I am, and how even when I think I'm not being selfish, there's probably still selfishness running the show. And boy, like, if I don't even know when I'm being selfish, then I'm really powerless over this selfishness because I can't even depend on my own interpretation of selfishness, right? Let alone change it. I need power again. And then it introduces me once again to my solution. And it takes it a few steps further. Now we're going to get really clear on who this power is. This power is a father. And I have worked with so many sponsees who have prejudice against that term father. And instead of encouraging them, well, you know what? Just change the words. Just change them so that you're comfortable with them, right? Option A. Option B. How about a new experience with that word father, capital F? How about a perfect father? How about a father who would never hurt you? How about a father who can heal you from all those hurts and past concepts of what a father is? And so it's a new experience. This book is introducing me to a new experience with God. I don't have to change the rules to suit myself anymore. I get to surrender to them, right? And I get to do this new dance where I let go absolutely and I say, you know what, just like Bill, I can come to the table with my pride and my prejudice and my resentments and I can change the rules, or I can let go absolutely and say, God, have all of me. Because you know what, reality is this God, this loving, perfect Father that we have, page 46, he does not make too hard of terms with those who seek him. All we have to do is seek him. God, I'm having a hard time believing in you. God, I have these old ideas that I'm having a hard time letting go of because of the hurt and pain from my childhood. God, teach me a new way of seeing you. God, heal my heart so that I can really believe in you. And the beautiful thing is that he loves those prayers. He loves those prayers. He loves answering them, and he loves blowing our minds with answers to those beautiful prayers. So wherever you are today, just know God is everything or nothing for us, and we are in this distinct entity who can't live in the in-between, right? These radical ideas that are in this book, they are truly the path to freedom. And I want to let go absolutely. And I want to work with a sponsor who can help me work through some of these old ideas that are keeping me from being sold on the ideas that are outlined in this book. I want to be all in. I want to be sold. And I want it all. So thank you, God, for being our power, our father, our perfect friend, everything that we need and more, and for giving us not just freedom from the bondage to food, but freedom from the bondage to self. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer C. from Greenville, South Carolina. Next up is Stephanie O., followed by Vasa O. Hi, Stephanie.
Good morning. This is Stephanie O. from Long Island, New York. I am a recovered chronic relapser, and the fact that I can say that today, it really does blow my mind. And the reason is because for the first time in my life, I truly believe that it can be done. So I've been in OA for like 25, 30 years, and I'm only 50. So that means I've come in like as a little kid, and I really haven't grown up until now. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, about a month and a half ago, I went to a convention here in New York, and I heard somebody who had a miracle. And when that word came out of her mouth, I was like, hold on. Because I know that that's what it's going to take. I don't know why. I can't cry. I always cry on the phone. But it's just because the Spirit is like finally moving in me. You know, I know. I've always had a good relationship with my higher power. I've always had a relationship with God. But in the past month and a half, I now get to call him Papa, because now it's no longer like this bearded man in the sky who's got a checklist or he's got, you know, a magic wand or whatever that is. It's truly a source. It's truly a real being in my life. And, you know, this morning I'm doing some work. I'm a newcomer, and I'm you know, careful what you wish for, because, you know, when you go to convention and you ask God for a new experience, you know, you never know what you're going to get. And boy, oh boy, did I get something new. And I'm so grateful because, you know, here I am getting up at 5 o'clock to do an assignment because I want to do it, not because I have to do it, not because I have to please somebody, but because I want to get well. And I remember reading this part of How It Works years ago, and I remember even sketching what a cornerstone looks like. And today, like, that cornerstone, it's not even a corner. It is just a bedrock. It is a bedrock of God. And I know that with him, her, you know, whatever it is, because the great thing about my higher power is that depending on what I need in a day, it can be a mother, it can be a grandmother, it can be a friend, it could be a big brother that I don't have. I can ask my higher power to, like, morph into whatever I need, and they do it. It's just so incredible when I'm willing to ask and believe that I'm worthy for a miracle. And, like, the best thing I heard is that worthiness is not a requirement. Like, what? Willingness is? And so you bet I get up at 5 o'clock to do what I have to do. And I'm just so grateful for this meeting and for everyone who does service. I hope everyone has a beautiful day. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Stephanie O. from New York. And Vasa O., you're up, followed by Jackie W. Welcome, Vasa.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Lynn, for your service. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Florida. And I heard the good news, and I had been in the food addiction for 25 years of my life before I came to my first meeting. And my food addiction didn't kick in until I was 15 years old because I came from another country, and we didn't have the foods that we have in America, and I gained 20 pounds in 1 month. So, and I struggled for 25 years like everybody else has struggled. And I grew up in a communist country, and I also grew up in a godly family. My father was a pastor. So in school, we were taught there's no school. That's what, I mean, there's no God. That's what they taught us in school. You know, there's no God living in a communist country. That was the God, the communism was God. And here I come, and I had a lot of confusion, and I was almost embarrassed to admit I was like atheist, and also felt guilty. How could I be atheist and say this? Because my father, you know, we go to church and we thought to believe and but that was the truth. You know, I think I geared more to what we were taught in school. There's no God. And here I come to the program, and my sponsor says, there's no way out of this till we surrender to a power greater than ourselves with the food addiction. And I said, I will surrender. I'll surrender 150 times with the food addiction. But with my life and my will, I was a little hesitant. I still had a lot of trust issues. So, and again, I called the higher power today, which I call God. And my parents, my father was an earthly father, and you know, they make mistakes. They made mistakes, like I have made mistakes with my children. But here I'm finding a perfect higher power that loves me unconditionally. And he's not gonna whip me. He's not gonna beat me up if I made a mistake or if I got into something wrong. I'm not saying that we're beat up a lot, you know, but we were spanked as growing up. So this God was not gonna do that. He's not kind of a harsh God. So I was ready. I'm so grateful somebody gave me the program, the big book. I was 42 years old, and I'm 79 years old. I would be dead today if I did not come to if nobody gave, if I didn't get the big book. To me, this was a gift. My sponsor said to me, I'm giving you a gift. This is the gift. I don't want nothing from you, nothing. Just pass it on to somebody else.
Time, and at the beginning, please.
Thank you. I'm just grateful. I'm still alive and going on strong because I've been doing this for many years, 39 years. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa O in Florida. Jackie, it's your turn. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Jackie W. in New Jersey. I'm so grateful I get to share on this page. I really wanted to share on this particular page, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. I actually read that page every morning because I'm that hard-headed. I need a reminder every single day that I am not the director and I do not run the show. And so for me, it helps to just keep reiterating that every morning. But I have been in OA, I'm 52, for 32 years, since I'm 20 years old. And this is the first time that I've gotten recovered, been able to maintain and achieve a normal weight. And most importantly, my life has changed spiritually, emotionally, mentally. It's just been the most outstanding experience. I'm so thankful. I'm so, so thankful. God has done for me what I could not do for myself. And I had repeatedly tried to run my show again and again, like a hamster on a wheel with the same thing, you know, multiple times doing the same things over and over and over and over again and expecting different results. It truly was insanity. And so it got to a point where I was absolutely beaten up and willing to just release my will. And I heard another fellow, I can't take credit for this, but I heard somebody share on the line, I didn't think I was God, but I thought I was his executive assistant. And that just, I chuckled and I hold on to that because I definitely felt like I had executive authority with God. And, you know, obviously that was a joke because I was doing nothing but making myself more exhausted. So it took what it took to beat me into submission, but I'm so thankful that I have the life that I have now and that I was willing at finally willing on a daily basis to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And he's done extraordinary things for me. So thank you guys for sharing and this beautiful program and fellowship. I pass.
So thank you, Jackie W. from New Jersey. We have time for one more 3-minute share. Who would like that time, please?
Susan S.H.
Susan S.H., please go ahead.
Yeah, good to have a chance to share on this. And yeah, I am, this is a whole different way of living for me. Now it's a way I've been working and enjoying for a few years now, but I remember what it's like to be so unanchored. I have a relationship, what I have from working the steps is a relationship with a higher power that I just didn't know was there. I didn't know that there was unconditional love for me. But today I know. Today I know where to turn. When I have a disturbance, I am so, so very grateful to be living this way of life. It was a totally different concept. I remember reading it with my sponsor. It was like, what? Like my father? Well, yeah, it's a perfect father that I didn't experience. I love my dad, but not perfect. And higher power loves me no matter what. He's not going to yell at me, and we're not going to have arguments because he knows and I don't. So grateful for these directions, grateful to read them again and again because every time I read them, they go a little deeper. Just grateful for this meeting, and I will pass.
Thank you, Susan S.H. And, you know, we still have time. Would somebody like to share? There's a minute left on the clock.
Terry Ann.
Okay, I heard Terry. Terry, please go ahead. You've got a minute.
Hi, everybody. My name's Terry Ann, and I am from South Jersey. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone. I just I've been listening, and, you know, I'm so grateful to be living in freedom from the food and just sitting here realizing, like, how far I have to go as far as trusting my higher power. And I think I struggle sometimes with fear that I'm going to be not able to handle whatever happens, and I have someone in my family who needs a lot of help, and that's what I struggle with. And, you know, it's just such a miracle to be living in freedom from the food, because then I have the opportunity to continue to learn and grow in this program. And thank you, everyone, for your service. I really needed this meeting today. Thank you.
And thank you, Terry N. And thank you to everyone who shared, and to Team Wednesday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. And the share idea for today, Wednesday, December the 4th, 7 a.m. meeting, is 21969. That's 21969. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Susan S.H., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. This is Susan S.H. from Real Compulsive Overeater Recovery for today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day with a man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.